Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, my friends, for the last 2 days now, we've been inundated on TV, news, radio, with the information and the news of, gosh, all kinds of negative stuff. Of course, you've got the background of the Republican convention going on, and, you know, somebody saying the world looks this way, and then the Democrats getting on CNN and saying the world, everything they're saying is a lie, and the Republicans saying everything the Democrats are saying a lie. And as you sit here and you wonder, man, what is going on? Why can these two different people not see the world the same? You know, we live right in the same, we go to the same grocery stores, or maybe we don't. That's maybe a problem, but it, you know, within the real world, there's, in my grocery store, I go down to the grocery store, there's blacks, browns, Indians, Chinese, Asians, everything. I mean, it's just like, it's a pretty much a mix where I live, which is interesting to me because, you know, I live out in the suburbs and you would think that that's, you know, going to be a lily white part of town, but it really isn't. And so we're sitting here inside this world, this bubble of success, financial freedom, normalcy, and all this other stuff is going on up in Kenosha and Wisconsin and, you know, Portland, Oregon, and all these different places where all this rioting and stuff is going on. And you're just sitting back and thinking, what does all this really mean? So I'm starting, trying to figure out how to make any of this into a radio show because it's just dominated the news and my brain just can't get off of this stuff. It's just, you know, crazy. And, you know, I thought about sitting here and giving you my side of the story because my side means nothing to anybody. It really doesn't. I'm just one more voice and out there on the street. So I figured that was just a useless waste of your time. So I started trying to look for things that would make a difference, you know. And so I started looking for quality of life issues. How do you measure the quality of life? And thinking that there might be really some clues to what's going on. And as I looked into the quality of life, I found that, you know, it's sort of like Maslow's hierarchical pyramid type of thing. You know, a lot of different articles on it, but really it basically comes down to the first thing is if you don't have air, you want air. And when you throw that out there, I had a black gentleman email me and go, yeah, and that's why the guy on the ground with foot and knee on his throat was saying, I can't breathe. And if you can't breathe and someone's got you on the ground, they got the knee in your throat, that's all you're thinking about is breathing. And when they kill you, you've taken away all other thoughts, hopes, dreams, and desires that anybody could have. I mean, let's face it, no matter what side of this argument you're on, let's take it down to the base level. And the base level is, if you're afraid that you walk out of your house, you're going to get killed, nothing else matters. That is base level. And I hope that makes sense to you. And so it makes sense to me. And so when the basketball player said they're not going to play basketball, you know, I don't know if anybody got upset. I didn't get upset at all. I go, of course not. You shouldn't be playing basketball. Your rich multimillionaire babied since you and coddled since you were a little kid. And you're living a life, a dream. And you feel there's injustice, and you feel like even as a rich basketball player, because you're black, you walk out the door, someone could shoot you just because you're black, then by all means, you need to be worrying about getting shot. There is nothing more important on the theory, you know, how Maslow's theory hierarchical needs them to not be killed. And so I totally understand that. Do I miss basketball? Not even for a minute. It's, come on. It's a game. Football's a game. We all believe all these games are important in life. They're not important. Being alive is important. I looked at, and I guess here I am going into my own opinion. I looked at all these different situations where this guy is shot and killed, and this guy is shot in the back and not killed, and this girl's house is broken into and she's killed. And all of these different instances, I said to myself, in every instance, without actually being a judge and a jury to see all the facts, but for what facts they're letting us see, I'm myself, I got, there's no argument at all. Those police officers are wrong, and they should be convicted to the highest level of conviction they can get. I also know that the police are, in many ways, corrupt, not all of them. And so you pick out how many you like. Is it 80% are good? 90% are good? 95% are good? Have you ever been harassed or hassled by a bad cop? I have. And I have more than once in my life been pushed around by cops. Maybe because I was a big guy, and maybe cops fear black guys because they think they're dangerous, or big guys because they think we're dangerous. Maybe cops are afraid. And or maybe they're just got the Napoleon syndrome. They grew up being afraid of life, and so they got a gun, a badge, and a uniform, and so they're out there pushing people around. Now, you pick what number is that. Is it 80% of them are good, 90% are good, 95% are good? I don't know the number. I know that I've run into both good police officers and bad police officers. So they're out there. So we can agree with that. So we're agreeing on two things so far, right? Now we're going to talk about protests. I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin during the Vietnam War, and so there were protests. Lots of protests. Did I go down to see the protest? Yeah, I think as a kid I probably tried to sneak down there and see the protest. I was too young to protest, but it was interesting. So you see all these people get out in the streets and you see all these young kids. The young kids just want to do something. It's fun to them. They want to see it. They want to be a part of something. They don't even probably know what they're protesting. If they do, they're probably protesting not want to be busted by the cops. You know? So they're on the same ticket. They're on the same wavelength. But then you go one step further, and what's funny is, and I don't understand why this is, I think everybody out there understands that there are people infiltrating both the protesters coming in from out of towns, that are there just to create problems, to rob, to steal, to destroy things. And they have an agenda. And is that agenda their own enrichment? Or is that agenda to create unrest in this country so the whole country can be turned over? Taken over by the leftist part of the country? And then on the other side, are there white supremacists out there? It's thinking, let's go get us a couple of these people. You know, they're out there destroying our way of life, and we'll go back and show them we can fight back, too. Do we not believe they're out there? I think they're both out there. And I think most of you, if you take even 10 seconds to look at the news, can see they're out there. Both sides don't want to admit the other side has their undercover protesters, their undercover instigators of trouble. Right? It's all out there. We all see it. But why do we all feel differently about it? Why do we have their side and our side in this argument when there really is the right side and the wrong side? But they've not taken the right side and put it on one side and the wrong side and put it on the other side. They've taken the two good and bad sides and split them in half so that they can argue over it, so that they can have power to be in charge. That's politics, friends. Now, what I want to do with the rest of the show today is not cover the politics of this. What I want to show you is the completely different, gross differences in the way people see the world as far as financial freedom. And show you that there are two different countries living within this country. And that's not two different countries. It's two different financial positions in life living in this country. The haves and the have-nots. I'm going to show it to you with a couple articles that are written about the same topic and show you how two different people writing about the same topic can come up with completely different points of view. Take a short break. Be right back with that discussion. Every now and then, when the world flips upside down. And during that time, you have to come up with a decision in your life. How are you going to go through this? How are you going to work your way through this process that has no end? So what do? The first thing I need you to understand is that almost every entrepreneur out there makes it big when something bad happens. I tripled my net worth between 2008 and 2010. 10 years straight increase in value. It makes us all look like geniuses when everything goes up for 10 years straight. But now we're at the point where we can find out who's good again. And you need to be in there. Because why? Because I tripled my net worth in 2 years. You can do it too, if you know what to do. You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about the differences between the middle class and below compared to the middle class and above, as to what their goals in life are and how they see the world. And I came to this conclusion researching quality of life and how you measure quality of life. And I came up with these two articles. One was called Unlocking the 7 Levels of Financial Freedom, and the other one was 8 Levels of Financial Freedom by Forbes. And it was interesting to me as I read them how different they were. It was almost like you could take one and stack it on top of the other. In other words, the people at the bottom of our socioeconomic existence are living at Maslow's hierarchical pyramid at the point where, number one, give me air. In other words, don't kill me. That is the bottom of the pyramid. Don't kill me. Don't shoot me. Don't beat me with a baton. Don't tase me. Don't do this. Do da, 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 da. Okay? And let's take that for whatever level of just letting it lie there and not go into the arguments about why the cops would chase you, would shoot you, would tase you, whatever, okay? Let's just leave that off for a minute because that is something that has built up over 50 years, 60, 70 years, maybe 200 years. Maybe it is back from slavery. But the bottom line is that this is a feeling, right? So that is, you know, financial freedom is freedom just to be alive. First level. Second level after air is water and then food. And you think of Flint, Michigan, and you think about the people poisoned by the city water. Now, Michigan, in Flint, Michigan, I would be willing to guess, and I don't know this for a fact, so if I'm making up stuff, then don't think I'm just making up stuff to make it up. I don't know it for a fact. It's a very high percentage of African American and Hispanic people living there. In Flint, Michigan. And those poor people can't fight the city for clean water. Now, I think the federal government did come in and stomp down on them and make them go back and fix some of that stuff. I don't even know. I didn't follow that story. I'm just giving you an example of, okay, water's next most important. Now your kids have brain damage. Now you have, you know, miscarriages. Now you have people getting sick and dying. But Dell, I thought we're going to talk about financial freedom. You don't think starvation, you don't think not being able to get clean water has anything to do with financial freedom? Why would you even care about going to work if your baby's sick from bad water? Right? So you look at this level, the next thing is food. And you think about what our country has made available for people to eat. It's fast food. We have turned our children, and specifically, again, I'm going to say it, if you want to crush me if I'm wrong, but when I look at people, when I go out in public, minorities' children are way fatter than white people's kids are. Way fatter. And most of the minority females are way fatter. So what is this nutritional deficit problem going on here? Financial freedom might even be having enough money to eat good, wholesome food instead of fat, fast food, sugars and fats and so forth. But Del, we're talking about money. What do you think money allows us to do? I go out to eat every single night. I never cook at home. I cook breakfast at home, sometimes lunch. But at least once a day and sometimes twice a day, I go out to eat at the finest restaurants, cooking fish and chicken and steak. You know, I eat good food. What if you couldn't get to good food? What if you had to live on Taco Bell and McDonald's and even worse fast foods than that? Right? Financial freedom's different for different people, guys. Food. So we're up the chain now, right? We're up the chain. Now, the next one on Maslow's theory is what? After food comes belonging. So who do these people belong to? These poor people, right? Who do they belong to? They belong to a group of people within a group that lives in a neighborhood or in a part of town. And that is their social network. It's the third most important thing in human existence is to belong to something. So how do you belong if you're a kid in one of these neighborhoods? You belong by joining a gang. You belong by drinking, doing drugs, and fitting in for the parties. You belong by listening to misogynistic music. You belong by wearing ridiculous-looking clothes. But you belong. You fit in. You fill that need. But then you need money. And there you go. To fit in, you need money. To exist within society. And the question there lies at the beginning of this discussion. We haven't even got the money, but when we get the money, money becomes a necessity that there is no answer for. You look around and you see the people that have money sell drugs, prostitutes, criminals, thieves, and cops. Say, what do you mean cops? They're crooked cops. They're taking, you say, no, Dell, you can't say that on the radio. Go, no, are you that crazy? Have you ever watched TV? Have you ever, you said, well, that's TV. Go, no, TV and movies, that's all a reflection of our society. And if you watch almost every cop show you watch, and I watch a lot of them because I really like whodunits, there's bad cops. Now, they'll admit it on TV, they'll admit it in movies, but we won't admit it up front. In fact, in almost every New York police show you watch where there's cops in New York, they're almost all of them are on the take. Now, I don't believe that all of them are, but I sure believe that it's probably been around forever that there's been cops on the take. So they see the cops on the take, they see the drug dealers, they see the prostitutes, they see the people who have the money. Then they see the people that take the low-end, low-paying, hard-work, long-hour jobs. Now, you're a kid. Which are you going to choose? Because what do you want? You want financial freedom. What do they all want? What do they call it on the rap albums? They want stacks. I guess I mean stacks of dollar bills. I don't know. You know, they want to make it rain for their strippers. You know, take that money and just throw it away. Man, they want big cars, flashy cars, gold. They want to wear their wealth with gold around their neck and in their teeth and so forth. Yeah, that's how they show their financial freedom. We buy big houses in the suburbs, right? They buy nice cars with big rims. It's just a matter of how you show your wealth. But I don't want you to misunderstand. What I'm pointing to here and what I'm going to come back from the break and go over is that that is the starting point for the low-end part of our society's financial thought process. Not even close to where our kids begin or where we even think we want to go. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Now, here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today, I'm discussing and analyzing the hierarchical financial needs of people in the lower half of our economy and people in the upper half of our economy. And I've made my own discussion as to what are the three most important things to people at the bottom half of our society. The people in the top half of our society barely even have to think about any of those three things. You know, personal safety is almost a guarantee, unless you do something ridiculously stupid, and air, food, water, those are guarantees in our society other than these lower socioeconomic bracket neighborhoods. So let's go into this first one here. It's called Seven Stages of Financial Freedom. And this is the one I deem to be more low end as far as goals. So it talks about the seven stages of financial freedom. And I hit the wrong button, it looks like. It doesn't. Let's see here. Unlock Seven Levels of Financial Freedom by Jake Ryan. Okay. Different one here. Move this along here. It says level one, able to handle all bad debts. So to them, the concept is that you can, at some point, your first goal, once you get a job, is to be able to just pay your bills and not have to go into short-term debt. People go to paycheck places to cash a check and get short-term credit. They've got credit card debt and so on and so forth. But just the first thing is they got to get away from debt. So people at the bottom have jobs, they're working, they're struggling, but the debt that they have accumulated is consuming them. So that's level number one. You know, if we talk with Dave Ramsey, that's about where his course picks up. Let's start worrying about that debt you've accumulated. And remember, accumulation of debt in this problem has nothing to do with the solution, which the real solution, well, actually, let's give you Dave Ramsey's solution. Dave's solution is cut back your expenses, budget yourself, live below your means. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. That is what we're all in the upper class world taught since we're kids, you know. I remember when I was a kid, I was taught to eat my vegetables first, you know, my meats first, eat the things that were good first, and leave the stuff I liked to eat to last. That's budgeting, right? That's budgeting right there. Level two, start retirement account and add 10% per year. So let's see. Now you got a job. That was the first goal, was to get a job. You know, remember, instead of selling drugs or instead of being a prostitute, right, instead of being on the take, you get a job. Now you got a job. Now the goal is to get out of debt. Okay, now you get out of debt, the next level, level two, is start a retirement account. I don't know that that's actually what people really start to create their level two. I think more level two is more along the lines of they want nicer things in life, right? So we go on and see what this guy says is level three, because I got to get through two of these articles here. Level three says create a savings account. And one of the things I found when I was young and I was trying to figure out how, or started Lifestyles, is I was trying to help people to increase their credit score. Having a savings account, a checking account and a savings account are two of the biggest things that look on your credit score to give you a higher credit score. If you don't have a checking account or savings account, you know, and many, many people I know don't have checking accounts and or savings accounts. That's one of the first levels of financial security you have, is to have accounts in your name, right? And until you have those, you don't have any credit. You don't have any credit. You don't have anything, really. Level four is start an investment account, okay? So now you're really starting to make it into the middle class now. You've got a checking account. You've got a job. You got a checking account. You're able to pay your bills. That's the next level. So you can pay your bills and not be going deeper and deeper in debt every month on credit cards. You're living at your means. The next level is have a savings account and start putting a few dollars away for the rainy day problem. So if you lose your job or the hurricane blows your roof off and you have a deductible on your insurance, whatever it is, you got some money. Next level, start an investment account of some type. Here they're talking about starting a brokerage account. And I remember doing this. I remember when I was young, 20s. Setting up an investment, I'm going to read this. Set up an investment account goes several ways. You could use a wealth front account, a passive index retirement account, ETFs, TD Ameritrade, on down the line. They're just saying get into what is the conventional type investment type of firm. All right. Then they say the next level is to buy your first home. So I don't know if that actually is in that order. I think people buy their first home and then start thinking about retirement, start thinking about investment accounts, right, later on down the line. I really think, first of all, is let's get us a place to live is going to be the starter spot. But either way, whichever one comes next, you realize we're only at basic housing, guys. We're on level 5 of 7 levels for these people, and level 5 is basic housing. Do you understand what I'm telling you? These people don't live like we live. I'm talking about making $1 million a month, and you're talking about I can afford to have a roof over my head. Not even in the same world, is it? The next one, level 6, build multiple streams of income. This is their next level, where you can have limited partnership accounts, you could have some real estate, you could have some annuities, you could have a 401k, but you have all 401k wouldn't do. You have to have things to give you income. And so this is really the next step, is to figure out how do you have income other than your job coming in, right? And for them, level 6, that's right up there with being well off, right? And then level 7, buy cash flowing businesses or income generating real estate. So in other words, the difference what they're talking about here, and they explained it in here, and without reading the whole couple paragraphs on each one of them, I'm just going to cover it this way and say, look, what they're saying is the first thing you do is you buy a house. Second thing you do is you start a savings account. Third thing you do is take some of the money out of the savings account, investment in other people's investments. In other words, other people own businesses that produce income. You're buying parts and pieces of those businesses by buying stock in them, by buying ownership percentages in them, by buying CDs and annuities and other things where you're giving other people your money and you're getting paid for using your money in their businesses. And then the last level is owning your own business of some type, whether it be rental, real estate. And in our group, we start with single family, rental income houses, then go to small multifamily. And in our company, in our group also, we have people, if you start back here, level 6, where it's building streams of income, a lot of people decide just to go into passive investing. They put their money into other people's deals here at Lifestyles. So that works out well. And really, when I started Lifestyles, I had passed that up and gone right to level 7, which was owning your own rental income, single-family houses and multiple families. Why? Because that's really where wealth is created, in level 7. In level 6, what it allows you to do is to participate in wealth building from the outside looking in. And by the way, don't get me wrong, I've got about 4 or 5 passive investments also. You just give some guys some money and say, yeah, you're good. You're making money. And, you're going to go make 20, 30% in your money. Gosh, if you can give me 10, that's way better than the 1 I could earn keeping it in my savings account, or now a half. So if you can give me 6 or 8 and I'm making a half, I think 6 or 8 is better than a half. I'll take that because I don't have any more time. And time really becomes the secret to everything here. But when you really decide you want to make money, folks, when you really want to decide you want to make money, the next level is you've got to go own your own stuff, got to own your own rent houses, got to own your own apartment complexes, you got to own your own gas station, you got to own your own business of some type, restaurant, whatever it is. Business ownership. And I've been told there's only 3 ways to massive wealth. There's only 3 ways to massive wealth. Are you ready? One of them is inherited. The second one is to be a pro athlete, which they make massive amounts of money, way more, 10 times more than even the best, highest paid business executives, right? And or own your own business. And when you own your own business, there is countless number of millionaires and multimillionaires in this country because they own their own gas station, their own grocery store, their own apartment complexes, their own single-family rent houses. They own businesses. I have one. I know one guy is a millionaire. He owned a what was it called? He produced materials for people, advertising materials, right? So he produces stuff. Another guy was owned a business that hired people. They were headhunters, right? I've known lots of people, and lots. Another one sold business equipment, like IBM stuff type stuff. All these guys came to me at Lifestyles as millionaires. They made their first $1 or $2 million by owning a business. Now, most of those people that came to me with $1 or $2 million are now owning these other businesses that are leveraged out way larger than they were. They're working much less, and they're probably worth, you know, $5, $10, $15, $20 million now. And so this is a big difference than what we talked about at the beginning of this argument. When we come back, I'm going to go to the other side and show you what the people that start from the middle end up making important in their life.
Now a word on retirement from Del Wamsley.
The average person thought they'd retire at 59 and a half, 60, then they said 64, then it was 65, then it was 66, then all of a sudden they jump right to 70, 70 is the new 59, 70 is the new 64, then it was, you know, hey, most people are going to work all the way into their 80s.
Do you really want to work in your 80s, or would you like to retire in 5 years or less? Find out how on Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. So today we've been talking about the differences between the 50% of the people live in the 50% and below median income and the people above, and how the worlds, the two worlds we live in, are so completely different that there's absolutely no way either one of us can understand what the other person's thinking. And I've taken this entire first three segments of the show to cover the people on the bottom. Now, watch me cover the people on the top. This article is called, let's see if I can get the name of the article here real quick, Eight Levels of Financial Freedom. Eight levels. All right? So let's talk about level one. Level one is not living paycheck to paycheck. Do you get that? Not living paycheck to paycheck. That's the first goal. In other words, they assume you're going to have a job. They assume you're not going to be deep in debt. That's the assumption of what you would call a normal human being. People that live in the upper socioeconomic brackets of our society can't even understand what being broke means, what debt means. They have no idea. It doesn't even register. Of course you have a job. Everybody is that's in my socioeconomic bracket, everybody's friends, everybody's kids, of course they have a job. Daddy and mommy could get them a job. The college degree could get them a job. They could just walk in somewhere and they have enough articulation. They can talk and communicate like human beings. They can get a job simply and easily. And they're expected to. And so they do. And so they have a job. And so they have money, and so they pay their bills. But we start out with jobs that are not that well-paying. And your goal is to get to the point where you have enough income that you can save money. You don't live from day to day. That's the first goal, is to start saving money, to not be living day to day. So when things pop up, when your car breaks down, you fix it. You don't not have a car. You don't go deep in debt to repair your car. When medical bills occur, you pay them. And you still have enough money to go out drinking with your friends. Right? You have enough to go out to eat every once in a while. You have enough to buy new clothes and Christmas for your kids and birthdays. And that's just given for everybody else. What is level two? Are you ready for this? Level two is enough money to quit your job. That's level two thinking. Now, they're saying for a bit. In other words, Financial freedom is, once you have enough money to live, the goal is to have enough money that if something happened, you could quit. Right? To have enough money, you could quit. Level three is to have enough money to be financially happy and still save more money. So in other words, I told people, what you don't understand is when I quit my job back when I was 34 years of age, and I made enough money to replace my earned income, I didn't stop saving. I was saving when I had earned income. I'm saving when I quit my earned income. And I continue to buy more real estate, and I continue to earn more passive income. So my wealth went up. My financial happiness increased, right? And I had enough money to both live financially free, but to save more and to have more. Year after year after year, until now I'm an old man and I have tons of money. But it didn't come overnight. I've been living financially free and increasing my wealth since I was 34 years old. This is a 30-year proposition, guys, of doing it right for 30 years. Level four, freedom of time. That's it. Forget about money. Money is no longer a problem for successful people. It's time. I want to buy my life back from corporate America was my scream for years. Buy back your life from corporate America. Own your own life. Do what you want, when you want, with whoever you want, wherever you want. Now, people that live in these poor inner city neighborhoods, they can't do that. That's not even a dream on the slate. The slate is to have a house and a car. Number five. Have enough for basic retirement. In other words, you have enough money. And by the way, I don't agree with this one because it's backwards to my thinking. I believe you have enough money to retire when you have enough passive income to retire, where it replaces your earned income. Now you can exist on it, right? But let's take that one level further. When you have not only your earned income and that equal and existent amount of passive income, you now have twice the money to live on than you ever had to live on. Now, if you can save up enough to have both your ability to survive on your passive income and save and have what we call a basic retirement, where you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, go wherever you want. You have a nice nest egg. You've saved some cash aside. You've got businesses paying you money. That's your basic safe retirement. Then number six is enough to actually live well. I remember when I knew I was living well, when I went from a $125,000 house to a $200,000 house and go, boy, I guess I'm in right in the middle of the middle class. And when I went from a $200,000 house to a $1 million home, I go, you know what? I've made it. I'm there. I'm over the top. I'm making, you know, whatever it is, $250,000 a year or more. And I'm living in a $1 million home, paid in full, by the way. I paid cash for it. I made it. But then when I moved into a $5 million home, 16,000 square foot, 20-car garage, swimming pool, lazy river, three koi ponds, seven fountains in the yard, night lit, private trail, outdoor kitchen, outdoor bar and restaurant, you name it, gym, maid's quarters. That's not normal, folks. And I'm not telling you this to impress you with what I have. I'm telling you this isn't normal. I realize it's not normal. What I'm telling you is it's a level that most people never even dream of getting to. Not if you start at the bottom. Then it goes, the next one is, after your dream retirement, and that's what they're calling number seven, is enough for the dream retirement. And then I was at the dream retirement at some point. You get to the next level, which is the last level. And that is more money than you could ever spend. Have a wonderful day. See you tomorrow.
you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.